I'm at Champlain Towers. Something's going on here. You've got to get us out of here. Oh my God.
On the 24th of June, 2021, a 13-story apartment building in Surfside, Florida, crumbles to the ground without warning, killing 98 people.
An officer asks, "Are you okay? Is anybody down there injured?" "Yes." The officer replies, "Captain, hey, the Champlain Towers, the building, it collapsed."
It collapsed.
It's the deadliest structural collapse in the US since 9/11.
This world.
Debris starts falling from the ceiling, hitting me in the face.
I tell my mom we have to get out of here as soon as possible.
Now, 1 year on, we investigate the leading theories for the collapse, using expert analysis and drawing on engineering case studies. Why did a 40-year-old structure like this fail so suddenly?
I cannot think of another incident in the U.S. where there's been an unexplained collapse of an occupied building that was not triggered by some type of extreme force.
We speak to eyewitnesses and examine footage that reveals a building in urgent need of repair.
Nothing could have prepared me for what I saw in the garage. It was a nightmare.
In the UK and around the world, architects and engineers need answers. What went wrong in Surfside? And could more buildings be at risk?
In the end, this will happen again if we don't address the root causes or the multiple causes of this collapse.
Why buildings collapse? Waterfront buildings.
The town of Surfside is a small beachfront community in South Florida, home to just under 6,000 people. It lies on a small barrier island on the edge of Miami. Champlain Towers South, a 13-story residential block built in 1981, along with its neighbor Champlain Towers North, was one of the town's many apartment blocks overlooking the Atlantic Ocean. For two decades, Steve Rosenthal lived in flat 705 on the sixth floor.
I had a gorgeous flat, and it was just a great building. It had the ocean, it had the pool, it had a gym. You're there 20 years and you meet people in the elevator, in the lobby. Everybody was friendly, so it was a perfect location for me.
Surfside at night.
Steve was one of more than 200 people who were living in the complex on the evening of June 23rd, 2021.
I'll be honest with you, nothing much happened that day that sticks out of my mind. Had breakfast, lunch, dinner, watched my TV, worked out, and went to bed. A typical day in the life of Steve Rosenthal at Champlain Towers.
Downstairs, in apartment 111 on the ground floor of the central section, Gabriel Neer and his mother were still up. Shortly after midnight, they began to hear strange noises.
I was in the kitchen, and I hear my mom saying, like, "You hear something?" It was going like boom, boom, boom. It was just like someone banging on our door, and it was just getting louder and louder and louder, minute by minute.
Blurred spots of light.
Gabriel's mother went next door to the lobby to talk to the security guard. Moments later, a huge boom sent shockwaves through the building.
It was super, super, super loud, and like a rumble. Everything was just moving, like the picture, the frames, the things in the kitchen.
The noise was so loud, it woke Steve Rosenthal over in apartment 705.
I guess it's about 1:15 in the morning, and I hear the largest thunderclap I'd ever heard in my life.
A reconstruction.
Times 100. I went, wow, that's some really loud thunder. And I'm waiting for the lightning. But then the bed begins to shake, the room begins to move, and now I'm saying to myself, oh, this is a dream. I'm in a dream, and I'm in an earthquake in California. 5 seconds later, debris starts falling from the ceiling, hitting me in the face.
Downstairs, Gabriel watched with horror as the pool deck area outside his window simply disappeared.
I see the whole pool deck area, like, just collapsed. We have the sliding door that goes out, and I just saw, like, the thing collapse. And then at the same time, I heard my mom screaming, "Earthquake, earthquake." I'm walking to the side of the building, and I just literally see, like, a hole underneath our building. And I tell my mom and sister, we have to get out of here as soon as possible.
Gabriel and his family fled the building just in time. A security camera mounted across the road captured what happened next.
The footage.
The central section of the building, including Gabriel's apartment, came crashing down.
I see people running, and I start to feel the rumble, and I start to feel like the rocks, the debris hitting my head. Everything was just a nightmare. And then, like, a second later, another rumble happened, which was the rear end of the building.
The back of the building collapsed next. CCTV reveals the huge cloud of dust that overtook Gabriel and his family as they ran to safety.
It was just the white dust was so intense, and we were on, like, we couldn't breathe. It was horrific. It was terrifying.
I run to the front door to see what's going on, and I get hit with a plume of smoke that literally, like a sonic boom, it just knocks me back against the kitchen wall, and I'm inhaling all that smoke. And I said to myself again, Rosenthal, whatever this is, okay, you're in it now.
Steve Rosenthal was trapped in the front half of the building, the only part still standing. This remarkable photograph, taken by Steve, shows what he saw outside his front door.
And that's when I saw the rubble, and that there was no way to escape down that hallway.
Steve turned around and headed for his balcony, where he saw some of his neighbors on theirs.
So now, it's me, my next door neighbor, and there's a woman upstairs, one over. Okay, she's like on the eighth or ninth floor. And she now tells us the back of the building has collapsed. She says, it's gone. I says, well, how do you know? Because she says when she opened the front door, she could see the ocean.
Holy Miami-Dade.
Holy shit.
What's going on? Tell me exactly what's happened. I don't know, there's a lot of smoke going on. I can't see right now.
At 1:16 a.m., 911 operators received the first of many desperate calls, including one from Gabriel Neer.
A bridge collapsed? No, a building. Building. A building collapsed? Yeah. We're here, we're here. We're safe, Mum.
The Surfside Police Department was on the scene within minutes. Their body cam footage captured what the officers saw.
Operator, 375. Officer, I don't know, what's going on? I can't see. Are you guys okay? 34, I'm on arrival here. There's a lot of dust, I can barely see anything.
At first, the dust conceals the scale of the disaster in the darkness.
I don't think the building collapsed. It looks like the roof and the drive-thru collapsed. I'm looking for injuries. Is anybody there?
Police!
Are you okay? Is anybody down there injured? Person, yes.
The officers can't reach the survivors.
Give me a second, I'm gonna go around.
Collins Avenue, part of a building collapse.
So the team tries to access the building from a side street.
Watch out, be careful. This is unstable here. People screaming, bro. People screaming. Is there a fire? No, dude, the building's collapsed.
One officer calls his commander, Captain John Healy, who is at home just a few blocks away.
I was getting ready to get in bed when the phone rang. Well, the phone doesn't ring too often in Surfside throughout the night. As soon as I picked up the phone, you could tell in his voice of there was a sense of distress.
Captain, hey, the Champlain Towers, the building, it collapsed.
Of course, I didn't believe it at first, but he reiterated to me the back of the building is completely gone.
Fire rescues on their way. This is huge. I'm going to have some people showing up here.
Captain Healy heads straight to the scene.
It wasn't until I got to 93rd Street where you had to basically slow down to make sure you had clear visibility. All the soot, all the clouds, all the debris was still blowing in the air.
Fire trucks are on the scene within 10 minutes. Captain Healy finds his officers. They're talking with Shamoka Furman, the security guard who escaped from the collapsed section with Gabriel and his family.
When I heard that, the lady heard that she went outside and said that everything collapsed. I said, get out.
When I first arrived, you could see people on the front end of the building screaming and yelling for assistance and that they were trapped. But you also looked at the north side of the building where the balconies were collapsed. And the first thing you're doing is looking up and praying to God that not too many lives were lost. But you know, deep down, you know that many people will probably have lost their lives there.
In an animation, the central portion of the building collapses.
Analysis of the CCTV footage reveals how the whole collapse took less than 12 seconds, crushing 55 apartments in the building to rubble. Only the front section overlooking the street remains standing. The race to find survivors begins immediately. Surfside officers work with Miami PD to create a barricade for the fire crews. Residents and neighbors are starting to gather on the street.
Captain Healy, obviously we can't go in the building. Okay, but we need to get all these folks and get someone to the community center. This is insane.
The police are concerned that the rest of the building could collapse too.
The normal routine would be try to run in and save people's lives, but you have to take a step back and you have to protect the lives that are already out here.
Hey everybody, right now, go. The building collapsed. Nobody knows how it collapsed or why. The building collapsed? Yes, half the building has collapsed. I need you to go over there.
Steve Rosenthal is still trapped inside the front section, along with dozens of his neighbors. He films from his balcony.
I see 10 fire rescue, 20 fire rescue, 30 fire rescue, 50 fire rescue. I mean, it's just insane.
Firefighters use a tower ladder to rescue residents from their balconies.
We're out there with the balcony. And even when I got rescued and you're in the cherry picker with other people, we're still wondering if the front of the building is going to collapse on us while we're in the cherry picker. So I didn't feel safe until I was on the ground across the street.
As dawn breaks, the tragedy makes headlines in the U.S. and across the world.
Welcome back to Local 10. It is 6:43. We have been in coverage since 4 a.m. You are looking at live pictures straight from Surfside.
More than 100 people are missing, feared dead.
The Champlain Tower South has suffered a partial building collapse.
Deputy Fire Chief Alex Fernandez leads one of the rescue teams.
Within the first 72 hours is where you usually affect the most rescues at a natural or a man-made disaster. And that's what, you know, drives your risk-reward benefit. And if there's the ability to rescue a life, we need to be aggressive in our decision-making.
Alex and his colleagues face a dangerous task. At the back, all 13 floors have collapsed on top of each other. The rescuers must dig through tons of rubble to look for survivors.
Typically, what you want to find is those large void spaces that are created naturally through the collapse process. People can survive in void spaces, but it was clearly evident that the structure was going to leave minimal voids for us to work in.
The collapse stuns the close-knit town of Surfside. Many of the residents belong to Miami's Jewish and Spanish-speaking communities. Captain John Healy is one of numerous local people who have friends among the missing.
My wife and I had four friends that lived in that building, owned one of those balconies. And you knew that once I tried to call him and there was no answer, that more than likely they were inside the building and were part of the collapse. days down the road, we did find out that they were home, and they didn't survive. And that's a family of a husband and wife and two beautiful little girls.
The unexpected nature of the failure alarms the authorities. Champlain Towers South had stood for nearly 40 years, seemingly without problem. The government instructs the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, to investigate. Glenn Bell is the inquiry's co-lead.
This investigation is probably the toughest that I've ever done in over 40 years of experience. It may be the most complex, toughest investigation of its type that's ever been done.
The town of Surfside also launches its own investigation. They call in one of America's most experienced investigators who probed the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon, Alan Kilsheimer.
I got a phone call and they asked me if I could help. And I said yes. And so I was down there at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Each of the collapses we get called to are different. Usually it's an external force of some time that you can have an idea about, you know, hurricanes, earthquake. But this one, there's no apparent reason as to why it came down.
Understanding how and why the towers were originally built could reveal clues. They were completed in 1981 at the height of a construction boom. In the 1970s and 80s, Florida's population exploded, driving demand for new homes. Champlain Towers South was a relatively new type of building, a condominium, where buyers own their individual apartments and elect a management board to run the building.
Similar apartment buildings facing the ocean.
The first step in NIST's investigation is to preserve key pieces of interest as evidence. It's a sensitive task, as the recovery effort takes priority. The investigators also hunt for other sources of information.
We start with the history of the site before the building was ever built. We want to understand all of the documentation that we could find on the design and the construction of the building, but then also documents that help us understand what changes were made to the structure, what repairs may have been made. There's a lot to chase down in that 40-year history.
Glenn Bell.
Changes to the design of a structure during construction can lead to fatal consequences. In 1981, the same year that construction finished on Champlain Towers South, two steel and concrete walkways collapsed inside the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Kansas City, Missouri. They fell onto guests attending a tea dance in the atrium below, killing 114 people and injuring nearly 200 others. A young Glenn Bell took part in the investigation.
The Hyatt investigation really shook me. It really upset me. It caused me to ask questions like, how could a disaster like this happen in our profession?
In the aftermath, the investigators examined the building's blueprints. What they found was shocking. The original support system for the skywalks was inadequate and had been modified to make construction easier.
That change effectively doubled the load that those already deficient connections had to carry. So that those connections were literally on the verge of failure from the moment those walkways were erected.
Could design changes have been behind the collapse in Florida? The original blueprints reveal that the building's design was altered during construction, just like the Grand Hyatt.
Architectural drawings, then an animation.
The plans call for a single-story underground parking garage, topped by a heavy concrete deck that holds the communal swimming pool. Above it were supposed to be 12 floors, with over 130 apartments. But at the last minute, the developers added a penthouse on top. Engineers say adding an extra floor during the construction process is unorthodox.
People don't do this because of what we call the load path of a building. If you add one more floor on top, then technically the design for all of your columns below would have to change by a few percent. And this would require the recalculation of the entire design of the building.
Adrian Brugger.
The addition of the penthouse was controversial at the time of the building's construction. The developer had to obtain special permission because it exceeded height restrictions in place to protect the town's skyline. Engineers think it's unlikely that the top floor's extra weight alone was responsible for the collapse. But it raises serious questions for the investigation.
I would say that it's definitely a point that has to be scrutinized globally for the stability and the safety of the building.
Height and weight are just two factors in a building's stability. No structure can be safe without a firm foundation. So, was Champlain Towers South simply built in the wrong place?
13 hours after collapse.
It's a possibility that occurs almost immediately to the rescue crews on the ground. The collapse resembles the devastation caused by a deadly underground cavity known as a sinkhole.
For the first day and a half, the assumption was that there was a sinkhole. There was water in the garage as we tried to go and search the cars in that area.
Sinkholes are a regular hazard in Florida because much of the state lies on a bed of soft limestone. They open up without warning when water dissolves the rock and have caused many failures. The rescue workers eventually discover that the basement floor remains intact. It means that a sinkhole can't have triggered the collapse. Was there a different problem with the building's foundation?
A sprawling complex.
In 2020, a team of geologists made a disturbing discovery while investigating the impact of rising sea levels on Surfside.
Surfside is located on a barrier island off the mainland. It's not very high. These barrier islands are just a few feet above sea level.
They found that during the 1990s, the land in the east of the island was slowly sinking.
The one place that we noticed the subsidence in the eastern part of the city was the Champlain Tower.
In Miami, high-rise buildings need particularly deep foundations to protect against shifting sands. Champlain Towers South has a massive footprint of 1,800 square meters. And it sits on a thin layer of sand with porous soft limestone beneath. Here, the water table can reach higher than the basement floor, creating a potentially unstable base. To keep the foundation stable, the building rests on concrete foundation piles that anchor it into the treacherous ground under Surfside. Data from the 1990s shows that Champlain Towers only sank 2 millimeters each year. Investigators cannot rule out a problem with the ground beneath the building, but it's unlikely that subsidence caused the collapse.
What we measured happened 30 years before the collapse of the building, so there must be a lot of things that happened afterwards that led to the collapse. There is no direct evidence to lead the subsidence to the collapse. 2 days after collapse.
It's now increasingly likely that the rescuers are dealing with a rare structural failure. It shocks even veterans like Stephanie Palmer on site with Florida Task Force 2.
I've been with the Urban Search and Rescue Team for 20 years. I've had a lot of challenging moments in my career and on deployments. And this was unlike anything I've ever experienced. It was shocking to all of us because we didn't understand really the magnitude of it.
The site is also highly dangerous. The front half of the building is still standing and could collapse.
Debris, cables, and rubble dangle from the exposed side of the building.
rescue engineers from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, arrive to assess its stability. The team is led by Scott Nachman.
There's no safe rescue environment. We all know going into these things that there is the risk of secondary collapse, there is the risk of injury or even death to ourselves or our teammates. In terms of rescue operations, I think the scene presented some of the most significant challenges that exist in this realm. It's by far the most stressful rescue environment I've ever been in.
The debris pile and its distinctive shape, like a stack of pancakes, is a clue to what happened. It reveals that Champlain Towers South suffered what engineers call a progressive collapse. As each floor fell, it appeared to take out the one below.
So oftentimes when we see structural failures in buildings, there will be one component that fails. And that'll cause a partial collapse, so it'll cause a shift in the load. In the case of a progressive collapse, more than one member fails, and the building does not have the ability to redistribute its load, and typically result in a very complex and very complete failure of that structure.
Investigators are closely examining the structural support system inside Champlain Towers South. The building had a network of concrete beams and columns that held up the floors and ceilings and reached all the way down into the foundations. Inside them were bundles of reinforcing steel bars called rebar that made the columns stronger and helped transfer the load to the building, ultimately to the ground below. Wrapped in concrete, this formed a solid framework that supported over 18,000 square meters of living area. It's a seemingly tight-knit structure.
From a 3D animation of the building to the city at night.
But evidence from those who lived inside the towers could offer clues to potential weak spots. The owner of apartment 611 in the central section of the building was Ileana Montegudo. Ileana remembers waking up shortly before the collapse and noticing how the building had started to shift.
The balcony door was open and I started to try and close it. I couldn't close it because evidently the building had already moved, no doubt, and the rails were not in line. So I thought I was not able to close the balcony door.
Ileana's confusion soon turned to terror. She heard a huge crash and car alarms going off.
When I looked at the wall, I saw a crack making its way down the wall, almost as if it were a snake. It seemed as if a black snake was coming down the wall, and it freaked me out. Then I realized it was a crack because it was coming down. It was separating the wall in two.
Ileana tried to get out of the building, but in her panic, she ran in the opposite direction to the closest set of stairs.
Logically, I would have gone down the stairs nearest to my apartment to get to the ground floor faster. However, my mind told me to turn left and to run. If I had taken the stairs next to my apartment, I would not be here.
By sheer chance, Ileana had fled into the front of the apartment block. She was on the stairs in this part of the building that survived as the rest of the towers came crashing down.
An animation of the collapse.
She's thought to be one of two survivors, filmed on the police body cam footage.
Is anybody down there injured? What's wrong with her?
The terror that I felt from the time I saw the crack in the apartment until I found myself in the street on solid ground was indescribable.
Ileana's experience suggests that the structural failure began inside the central section. Did it start at the top or the bottom? Gabriel's testimony offers another perspective. He lived four floors directly below Ileana on the ground floor of the central section. He remembers how the pool deck, a huge concrete slab that covered the underground parking garage, initially caved in several minutes before the building collapsed.
I see the whole pool area just collapse, and then all of a sudden I see this white dust and concrete dust evaporating in the air.
Did the collapse of this pool deck area somehow trigger the cracking inside Ileana's apartment? This mobile phone video, thought to have been filmed just moments after the pool deck collapse, appears to show a problem inside the garage. A tourist staying at a hotel next door recorded what looks like water pouring down from the garage ceiling and debris on the floor. This footage raises many puzzling questions for the investigators.
Why was there water running down? Was there a broken pipe? What broke the pipe? What could break the pipe? Or did something happen right where the pipe leak was and that radiated outward that made the building fall down?
The exact role that the pool deck played in the collapse is still unknown. It doesn't seem to play a significant structural role in the overall building.
A 3D aerial animation.
But one theory is that as the deck dropped down, it pulled on the columns, ripping out concrete and rebar. The weakened columns finally buckled and triggered the collapse of the central section. Structural engineer Abiyeyua Agayere thinks this is a real possibility.
Now you have a slab that is a heavy slab that's just hanging like a cable, almost like a clothes string, and pulling down and pulling on the edges of that slab. So pulling on the building columns, they then buckle under their own loads.
Did the pool deck's failure trigger a devastating chain reaction?
There are many hypotheses why the structure itself as a whole failed. But I will say that the failure of the pool deck will be a trigger, at least, if not the main trigger, one of the main triggers of the collapse.
It's a compelling theory, one of many under investigation. But if the pool deck's failure did trigger the main collapse, it raises more questions about why it failed. Did Champlain Towers South conceal more than one serious problem?
8 days after the collapse, rescue workers are standing on a mound of rubble.
8 days after the collapse, teams have been working around the clock, but dozens of people are still unaccounted for. Relatives gather to post pictures on a temporary memorial wall.
The amount of work that was put in mentally was more than I think we anticipated, but we never changed our pace, because we would see these open bedrooms and people's beds and people's pictures on the walls. We were constantly reminded of how those people were just in there. And that is what drove us every single day.
Structural engineer Scott Nachman is worried about the stability of the remaining section. Meteorologists have discovered the start of a tropical storm out at sea, heading towards Surfside.
The most significant concern was that Tropical Storm Elsa would, in fact, impart enough wind on the structure that we would have a secondary collapse. So the decision was made that something had to be done to stabilize it or remove it.
Hope is fading that anyone else will be found alive. So on the evening of the 4th of July, experts prepare to detonate explosive charges that bring down the remains of Champlain Towers South.
The rest of the building collapses and a dust cloud billows out. Scott Nagerman is a forensic architect.
The decision to demolish a structure on an active rescue scene is always a difficult one. But in this case, it was the safest choice for the incident because the structure itself had already been cleared.
Typically, when we search, it's for rescue. And so we knew at that point that was a complete recovery mission.
Police releasing the identities of three more victims in the Surfside condo collapse. They joined the growing list of lives lost in this unimaginable tragedy.
The rescue crews eventually identify 98 people. The oldest is a 92-year-old lady. A one-year-old girl is the youngest victim.
To not find a survivor on a deployment is very unusual. It was very frustrating. But I've often told people that bringing closure to people is just as important as finding someone alive. And so that is what drove us, always, because we knew how significant closure could be at that point.
A rescue dog at work.
After the demolition, the investigators can inspect the debris more closely. The leading theory so far is that the disintegration of the pool deck above the garage somehow triggered the main collapse. But why would the deck fail in the first place? A clue could lie with the pool deck's supporting columns. Several remained standing during the collapse. Engineers call this phenomenon punching shear.
What happens is that column can, under very heavy load, literally just push right through the slab and punch through. So it's very much like if you're just holding a piece of paper and then you just push your finger through it.
Is it possible the pool deck had been overloaded? The original design plans of Champlain Towers include a series of heavy planters on the pool deck. Then in the 1990s, more planters were installed that were not part of the original design. The solid concrete, the soil, and big palm trees added thousands of kilograms of weight, pushing down on the pool deck. The trees were removed and replaced with smaller bushes well before the disaster, so they can't have been the immediate cause of the pool deck collapse. But weight is not the only contributing factor behind a punching shear failure. In 1997, corrosion triggered the collapse of a car park in Wolverhampton.
There, it was caused by corrosion that was caused by water intrusion and frost damage. The columns remained intact, and the deck just failed right through the columns.
Did something similar happen at Surfside? A clue could lie with mobile phone footage filmed by another Surfside resident. In 2020, Dr. Fiorella Terenzi was thinking of moving to Champlain Towers South from its sister building, Champlain Towers East, less than 80 yards away.
I was looking for an ocean view. So I called my realtor, and on July 17, 2020, she called me and she said that there is a great unit, just came on the market to go and take a look.
Fiorella viewed a fifth-floor apartment in the central section of the south building, the same one that Iliana Montegudo eventually bought.
I remember how beautiful it looked, the Champlain Tower South. We walked into the unit. I remember, you know, the large kitchen on the left, the side view of the ocean, that tropical color reflected in the mirror on the wall. It was super beautiful.
But Fiorella's enthusiasm turned to shock when she went down to the underground parking garage. She took out her phone and filmed what she saw.
And I'm filming as fast as I can all the strange, weird sign I see. I look up and I see stalactite, right? Forming stalactite. I see drop of water from the ceiling dropping down onto the garage floor.
Fiorella's mobile phone video reveals the extent of the water damage.
I remember looking up again, seeing this diagonal from one column to the other one. Large crack, 3 or 4 centimeters, which was filled already with some filler and painted over. But the more I look, the more I see that in the crack, there is now, all along the crack, a rust color. So something inside is rusting, or water is dripping down. I couldn't wait to get out.
Fiorella also saw water damage on some columns and puddles on the floor. She decided not to buy.
Nothing could have prepared me for what I saw in the garage. It was a nightmare. From the lobby to the condo itself, down to the garage was a different building.
Public records show that repairs were carried out to the waterproofing in 1996 to 97. But dripping water was a recurring problem. The trees were partly responsible. Reports say the roots grew into the drainage pipes that ran through the pool deck. The pipes cracked and allowed water to seep into the concrete and steel mesh.
Planters can pose a real threat to especially roof slab integrity. First of all, they're a huge load on the roof that the roof may not have been designed for. And then, of course, the roots of the tree themselves can actually punch through the planter if these are not being well maintained and then infiltrate the concrete.
But why was the garage still wet by the time of Fiorella's visit, when the trees were no longer there?
The underground car park, March 2021.
Gabriel, who lived on the ground floor, remembers how parts of the pool deck above the garage were constantly wet.
The pool area where you walk on, it was very unstable, and anytime you would walk on it, the tiles would move one way or the other, and you feel the water come out. We just didn't think it would be that bad.
So was this water damage serious enough to cause the deck to collapse? In 2018, the residents commissioned an engineering firm, Morabito Consultants, to inspect the building. In Miami-Dade, almost all buildings have to be recertified after 40 years to make sure they are safe. The engineer found that the waterproofing under the planters and the deck was beyond its useful life and concluded that the water damage was turning into a major structural issue. The estimated cost to repair all the building's problems was more than £12 million. Some work was in progress when the building collapsed. The report also said that there was a serious flaw in the original construction of the pool deck. Ideally, it should have sloped down so rainwater could run off to a central drain. But the report details that it was flat, allowing water to pool and seep through failing waterproofing into the concrete. Combined, these failures add up to a major concern. Investigators are looking closely at this area.
The structure there, the slabs, were exposed to the environment, so they experienced more severe environments than the other areas. We have a lot of specimens in our warehouse from that pool deck area that we'll be looking at. We have a lot of imaging that we'll be looking at.
Water corrosion is a particular problem in coastal areas like Surfside, where there is more moisture in the air. At New York's Carlton Laboratory, structural engineer Adrian Brueger investigates how salt water can destroy concrete buildings.
Concrete, like any other building material, is not invincible.
Concrete can shoulder extremely heavy loads, but it cracks easily when stretched under tension. So engineers put steel reinforcing bars, called rebar, inside it to make the concrete more flexible.
When we combine the steel with the concrete together, the rebar can carry the tension while the concrete mostly carries the compression. But it has a few Achilles heels, and one of them is salt water. When it's subjected to salt water and it's not perfectly designed and perfectly sealed, then that salt water can actually cause it to corrode very quickly.
Adrian uses a corrosion chamber to examine the damage salt water can do to the steel rebar inside reinforced concrete. It speeds up what would happen over decades in the real world.
This type of corrosion, when the rebar starts to expand like this, what this can do is actually blow parts of the concrete off the side of the column not only exposing the steel, but also actually having the column lose part of its carrying material. Florida is a very aggressive environment. The ocean spray actually hits these buildings and infiltrates the concrete and can leach out some of the minerals in the concrete and turn it sour. And when it goes sour, it will promote this type of corrosion in the steel.
We don't know at this stage what quality of concrete was used at Champlain Towers South, or the extent of any corrosion. In this warehouse, investigators are examining 600 recovered samples and are using the data to create computer models.
Modeling is really central to our progressive collapse analysis. That's the major part of the investigation. This is a simulation of where the failure likely initiated and how it progressed. We have the capacity to make very sophisticated models that can predict the behavior of the structure in the extreme, that is, up to the point of a failure.
We're doing testing of the strength of the steel. We're looking at the steel to see what corrosion exists. So you have to understand the forces that are put on things. And then you have to understand the strength of what's resisting those forces.
In 2021, relatives and survivors launched a class action against multiple parties, including the Condo Association, which they said failed to maintain the building. They also argued that vibrations from the construction of a new high-rise building next door could have undermined the towers. All parties have now settled out of court at a staggering cost of more than $1 billion, one of the largest settlements in US history. All of the defendants still deny being at fault. Ultimately, investigators in Surfside may identify multiple failures at almost every stage in the building's life.
There's always one final weak link that's the initiating incident or condition, but rarely is there a single thing that causes the building to fail.
Usually it is several things. Each individually might not have made the collapse happen, but when they all happened at the same time, that's what made the collapse happen.
At this stage, all possibilities remain open. But what we know so far about the collapse and the building's age raises disturbing questions. Many are asking, could it happen again? Fiorella Terenzi, who considered moving to an apartment in Champlain Towers South, is one. She owns a flat in the East Towers, built by the same developer. Fiorella no longer feels safe in her home.
I remember I didn't want to go in my bedroom. I didn't feel secure. I was imagining in my mind, my floor in my condo, in my home. I was envisioning the floor cracking, half of my building collapsing. I was not home anymore.
Fiorella has moved out and won't go back until the investigations discover what happened.
I want answer. I want analysis, I want to see data. I want to go home and feel safe. But the question is, will I ever feel safe? Will I ever be able to be the same as I was before June 24?
If the deteriorating condition of Champlain Towers South is proven to be a contributing factor in its collapse, the implications are global. Since the disaster, Miami-Dade County has evacuated several apartment blocks and declared 470 as unsafe. In the US as a whole, there are over 7 million condominium units, and almost a third are older than Champlain Towers.
The type of construction is fairly common in many buildings across the United States. The fact that it was an existing building that stood for 40 years and then collapsed raises a lot of questions about how we maintain and inspect our structures. And so the potential of the findings of this investigation to impact structures across the United States and even the world is quite high.
In Europe, 4 out of 10 people live in multi-story homes. Engineer David McKenzie represents Cross UK, an organisation which helps building professionals share safety concerns.
We have structural failures, fortunately, very rarely. When they occur, they have a huge impact on the profession, on people's lives. We have to learn from them.
In 1968, a gas explosion destroyed the entire corner of the Ronan Point tower block in East London. It killed 4 people and laid bare a serious design flaw with the concrete walls.
Ronan Point, when the accident happened, gas explosion inside the flat, and the pressure pushed the ceiling up. And as the ceiling was pushed up, it then pushed the walls out. And then as the blast pressure diminishes, down comes the floor. There's nothing to support it because the wall's been blown out. It keeps coming down. All the weight of everything above hits the floor below. Nothing to support that now. The whole thing goes pushing down to the ground.
The problems identified by the failure at Ronan Point led to a change in UK building regulations. But today, some Londoners are still living with the same potentially deadly design.
This is the Ledbury Estate here. It's a bit shorter, but it's made exactly the same way. A series of panels. And it's like a house of cards. If you take one of those cards out, everything above it falls down. And that's what happened to Ronan Point.
Across the UK, engineers strengthened similar tower blocks. But at Ledbury, these works appear not to have happened. All the towers are now due to be demolished, but some residents have chosen to stay until then.
This process has taken 50 years to get to here. Now, this slipped through the net, perhaps, but it does take time. The legacy of Ronan Point is that, clearly, if the design from the start had been better, we wouldn't be sitting here fixing that problem. It costs a fortune. Preventing it from the outset costs a fraction of that.
Flawed buildings like Ledbury and Ronan Point are thankfully rare in the UK, but age-related problems are much more common. In 2017, Professor Douglas Robertson wrote a report on the condition of Scotland's building stock. In Glasgow, some apartment blocks known as tenements are nearly 150 years old and crumbling. The city has seen a number of partial collapses in recent years.
50% of all properties in Scotland are in critical disrepair, largely because we do not have a regular maintenance system.
Douglas is meeting engineer Frank Grimes, whose daughter lives in this 100-year-old building. Here, the homeowners have erected shoring to prevent the facade from collapsing. But the total cost of this and other repairs will be expensive.
They're expecting us to foot a bill of £87,000 each.
Each?
Each. To fix this building. The idea was to take down the facade and rebuild it. I said, no, we can pin it to the walls coming through here.
Yeah.
We can pin it back. There's ways of doing it.
In Scotland, many residents own their flats outright rather than by leasehold. It means that persuading all the owners of a building to carry out communal repairs can be difficult.
Yeah, I think we should be concerned. In terms of collapses, we are seeing every so often, monthly, weekly, and it's in the west of Scotland where it's a small trickle. Will it take a major collapse to suddenly then for the public attention to be taken? I don't want to be proven right that a serious collapse will then change public opinion, but it seems awful if that's the way that public policy actually operates.
So how can we protect our ageing homes? The Built Environment Forum Scotland, which commissioned Douglas's report, is calling for much more reliable data.
More than a third of all the buildings in the UK date from before 1919. So this is a major issue when we're talking about age. What we really need, and I think every country needs this, is we need to know where our buildings are, how old they are, what materials they are built from, and what condition they are currently in. If we had this information at national level, we'd really be able to model for the future.
Other ideas include the creation of compulsory owner associations with adequate sinking funds and a system of regular inspections to pick up problems before they become too serious.
Maybe I think a 5-yearly cycle is what's been recommended, because then you can either fix small problems, really get that maintenance under control, or have much better awareness of what might be looked at for the future.
Technology could also be part of the solution. Here at the Carlton Laboratory at New York's Columbia University, engineers are developing new devices designed to make many structures safer.
What you see here is a full-scale bridge cable that we actually built in the lab. So this is 9,200 5-millimeter wires, as you would find, for example, on essentially any major suspension bridge.
Adrian Brugger's team is embedding sensitive detection equipment in steel and concrete structures. Devices like these could also measure a building's movement or moisture levels over time.
Early detection is incredibly valuable. Spending a few dollars on sensors such as these can really be a fantastic investment.
Regular maintenance and inspection could increase the lifespan of future buildings. But should we also radically reevaluate how we care for our existing structures?
This is a major issue that we really have across the Western world and the developed world, because if you look at our major infrastructure, our buildings, our bridges, and also these older condo towers, they're getting up there in age. So we really have to look at these structures and see if it is still safe to maintain them in their current state, or if we maybe actually have to build new.
The world will grapple with the questions raised by the catastrophic collapse of Champlain Towers South for decades to come. Meanwhile, the investigations by Alan Kilsheimer and NIST continue.
We are now close to 1 year into the investigation, and still no readily apparent or obvious initiating event has arisen after quite a bit of work. The general public has a right to expect that the buildings that they enter and work in and live in are safe. So we have an obligation that we do our best to improve our practices to make sure that disasters do not repeat themselves.
I take it personally. I promised all these people that I would tell them what happened, and that's what I've got to do.
For many people in Surfside, like Gabriel, the greatest challenge now is how to rebuild their lives.
Those 20 minutes, everything just changed. It's been so hard. You have to enjoy life to the fullest every day, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
On June the 24th, 2022, exactly 1 year after the collapse, the families and friends of those who died remembered their loved ones, where Champlain Towers South once stood.
We want to honor 98. We're all 98 now. We're all family.
The site's future has stirred many conflicting emotions, but what unites most people in Surfside is the need to understand exactly what happened here.
I don't know what my future has in store for me. I wanted to, as much as I could, to forget about it, to move forward, not to look back. But at this point, we need to find out the actual cause so it doesn't happen to other buildings.
The impact of this disaster will be felt long after the report into what happened here has been published, by a small town hit by an unimaginable tragedy, and by all those who lost relatives and friends in Surfside at Champlain Towers South.
A list of the victims and their ages.
Trying to track down one of Europe's most wanted people smugglers. Intrigue to catch a scorpion. The hunt is on in a new podcast from BBC Sounds. Listen now. Documenting tensions between East and West, secrets and spies, a nuclear game next.